This is Tom Luongo.
This is Alex Craner.
This is Franco Terrazano.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough.
This is Joshua Allen, the Cowboy Preacher, and you're listening to the Sean Newman Podcast.
Okay, let's start here. We're around the kitchen counter in the Newman household here.
Drinking tea.
Yes, drinking tea. We had to...
Shout out to Grandma Newman.
We had to adjust on the fly. So welcome to the Brothers Roundtable. It's a little late, but it is out. We're going to make sure it's out. We're going to talk about a few things, and then we'll let everybody on with their day. We're going to start here, okay? I said it. The Silver Maple Leaf going to Dustin Newman. That's, boo.
Thank you very much. I'd just like to note that if Saros played a 21-game series, he still wouldn't have made as many saves as Hellebuyck did in five.
Well, Hellebuyck didn't make enough
saves. It's surprising after watching it that intently that Vancouver is up 3-2. I mean, they won the one game with 12 shots.
I'm pretty sure in the last podcast, Jay, I said something about Nashville having a shot at this series and maybe a decent shot. Mm. And Jay saying something about they had McDonough, who was an old defenseman on one leg who couldn't do anything. And Vancouver has a Norris Trophy winner and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but they also
meanwhile, Nashville has dominated that series.
They also had Demko in the net, who's no longer in the net. Then they put Casey DeSmith in the net. He's no longer in the net. So now they're on.
So that's
the
reason why they're getting outshot so bad? It's because they got backup goalies on that? Shouldn't they still be dominating?
Sometimes it can change how you play, Dust.
And the game that Demko played, they got outshot.
You know, speaking of which, you know, you wonder if it's in Sean's mind how little he's won at Neunauer and how Todd keeps putting him on his own team against the other three brothers and he keeps getting beat over and over and over again. Since the start of January of our year 2024, Sean has not won a series, and I don't know if he's won five games.
But did you notice since Sean switched himself on the forward, other than the day he had a little bit of scotch, he's been lighting the lamp like nobody's business. And we've been winning.
Yeah,
and we've been winning.
Maybe I haven't been there. Maybe that, because as soon as I came back.
Is this Austin Matthews? Or
he's not winning.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Did you guys win on Wednesday while I was gone?
They did. I switched over to your team. They still beat us.
That's too bad.
Jay switched over to white.
It was 1-0, 45 minutes
I played
into the game.
Defensive center role. I was Philip Deneau.
Ended up 6-1.
Yeah. Ran out of steam.
In rolling this back to the goalies, I'm pretty sure I was getting chirped by big man Jay here for my choice in goaltender, and then his goaltender winds up getting dead last.
So, to be honest, my goaltender's played
well with a few shots. Dust finished last, so he picked Connor Hellebuyck first. Then Jay picked Saros. Then Harley picked Georgiev, and I picked Vasilevskiy. Vasilevskiy finished second this go-around, but Tampa didn't do so well.
Made a lot of saves, just not enough.
Not enough.
How's that draft looking, Sean?
I tell you what, my draft not looking too bad.
You know what?
Sean's draft right now looks like Sean's Neunauer.
You know what's funny about this? So my son Owen picked Sean's draft for him after they had a little confab to figure out their strategy. Owen is just like so demoralized right now.
You know
now.
What, Owen?
It feels like
Owen,
he let Sean down.
Owen, if you're listening,
just feels
this,
like the worst drafter ever.
Owen, if you're listening, you did a great job. I gave him four teams. He started getting all the Tampa. If Tampa would have pulled up its socks, you know, maybe we'd be laughing a little different story. Not this time around. So
is Tampa just a year or two behind where Pittsburgh's at? Who is a year or two behind where LA was?
I think the last podcast, I think I kind of mentioned that Tampa Bay was good but no longer great, and they are a couple years away from what Pittsburgh and Chicago was.
Well, and I've been saying that it looks like Tampa's lost a step.
Or maybe they're just up against the Florida Panthers, and I underestimated the Florida Panthers.
So here's the thing. Florida's a great team. Tampa Bay's now a good team.
Yeah, and I don't know. I tend to lean on Sean on this one. I mean, they still got Vasilevskiy.
Hedman,
who's a top five
Stamkos,
player. Hedman, who's
Kucherov,
a top five.
Kucherov, who's the number one.
Who led the league in
Thank
scoring.
You.
Like, I don't feel like this is Pittsburgh that's got Crosby, Malkin, and
Crosby was
and
top
in
five
wheels.
In scoring in the league this year?
No, he wasn't.
He was close.
Come on. He wasn't close.
Top 10?
I think he maybe hit 100 points.
Kucherov sure didn't show up in the playoffs. That's all I know.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it doesn't feel like the Tampa Bay's over the hill. Are they?
Yeah, but compare that team versus 5 years ago, Jay. You got 5 years younger on Stamkos, 5 years younger on Vasilevskiy, 5 years younger on years younger on the defenseman. Like, everybody's 5 years older.
Hey, whoa. Here's your top 10 point totals for the regular season. Kucherov, McKinnon, McDavid, Panarin, Pastrnak, Matthews, Draisaitl, Rantanen, Miller, Nylander.
Not okay? in the top
where was,
10.
Where was Crosby?
Not in the top 10.
Crosby's got to be close, though.
Right, so this people, for as much as he sounds number, like he number, knows exactly what he's talking about, yeah. shows sometimes how Dustin just talks
out his
Number
14. Ass. So everybody gives me a rough time about Tampa Bay. I took the number one scorer in the league and a yes. team that has won the cup twice.
Who's got Hedman years. Anchoring the defense, who's and got Vasilevskiy anchoring you. The goaltender.
Okay. Vasilevskiy's looked very is, average, though, of lately.
This is not
and he was injured. And he was injured for part
this
of the
is not
season.
This is not 2017. All those guys are 5 to 7 years older than the last time they
Great.
Won the cup.
They're 5 to 7 years older. Kucherov still led the league in scoring. Hedman is still one of the top five defensemen in the league.
Kucherov.
Do the Oilers have a better defenseman than Victor Hedman?
Did Kucherov how many points did he have during question. How many points did Kucherov have in the playoffs?
I don't know. They won, how many did they have?
They won. I don't know. Like, are we going to get into how many points? I'm just saying, Tampa Bay won the cup in 2020 and 2021.
Is that how long ago it was? Oh, I thought it was longer.
That was only 3 years ago.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying. Like, everyone's going to give me a hard time. All I'm doing is Owen did a great job. That's all I'm trying to point
Owen
out here.
Fantastic.
He did a great job.
How about Tampa? Tampa getting Florida. The one goal against in their last game, calling for goalie interference, and then getting scored on like that just sunk their ship right off that hop. If they wouldn't have done that, right? Like, but
all I'm saying is Florida, if you look at their team right now, Florida is a really good freaking team that went to 2 years ago, won the President's Trophy, and last year went to the Stanley Cup Final. They are an elite team right
okay.
now.
Okay, fair enough. But curious question, how old is Bobrovsky? Is Bobrovsky that much younger than Vasilevskiy? Because I feel like the answer is no.
The only thing is eventually over time, like what they talk about it every year that you continually make the finals and go deep into the playoffs.
Just children walking in the background, folks.
It's a wear and tear on everybody, right? And you get less rest time between the regular season. So,
Sergei Bobrovsky, he's 35 years old. He's young and right in the middle of things.
But how many years has Tampa been doing this now where they're getting deep into the playoffs, winning the Stanley
Oliver,
Cup?
Oliver Ekman Larson, Sean.
And how old is Vasilevskiy? Anybody?
29?
29.
Really? I didn't realize he was as young as what he is.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to say what I said right at the start.
Stamkos is older.
I sure. underestimated 30, the Florida 34. Panthers. And you go, why would you underestimate? They made the Stanley Cup Finals. Did anyone have them picked on the bingo card for the Stanley Cup Finals last year? No, that's why everybody got their playoff brackets wrong. Nobody saw that coming. And in the finals, they weren't that good of a team. They lost. Simple. Vegas was the better team. Mm-hmm. So I underestimated the Florida Panthers this year. I will admit to it. But I'm not going to hear about how over-the-hill Tampa is, and they're this old team, and on and on and on. They got all these guys who've won a ton of awards.
They brought in Hagel, and they brought in some guys.
Had a little more oomph in there. And when you watch the series, you went, wow, Florida is actually a pretty good team. They're going to be dangerous this year.
Does Tampa re-sign Stamkos? He's up this year. John Cooper is also up this year.
I'm going to answer your question differently. Tampa will re-sign Stamkos if Stamkos is willing to take a discount because they don't pay income tax there in Florida. I don't think Tampa's not giving him $8 or $9 million. I don't think. But if he's willing to sign for $5.5 million, they're gonna compare him to Zach Hyman and Nugent Hopkins, right? Guys like that. And so if he's willing to sign, because they're gonna say, listen, them guys signed in Edmonton. At $5.5 million.
I
think it might be more term rather than the money.
No. Here's the thing for Stamkos. If you're Stamkos, this is your last big payday.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to cash in.
Okay.
That's the way. I would be thinking that if I was Stamkos, because this is your last big payday.
81. Okay. No, that's fair.
81 points in 79 games is what he finished with, and in the playoffs he had 6-5.
Right. So I'm saying, all I'm saying, Dust, is I understand what you're saying. There's two different mindsets there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if Dustin's 34 and has won two cups and has made $50 million, all Dustin's worried about is the money. If Jay is 34 and has won two cups and has made $50 million, I want to take another run at a cup because money is secondary.
Okay.
For me.
So is Tampa Bay the team that can get you there? Yes, can Tampa Bay get you there?
I feel like if I'm Steven Stamkos, that I think that with just a little reworking, me taking $5.5 million, bringing in another guy, I think we can.
Their best players, Stamkos being one of them, is not the guy who's going to lead them over the top anymore.
No, but you still have Braden Point there. You still have Vasilevskiy who's in his prime. Vasilevskiy was hurt this year. Vasilevskiy missed 20 or 30 games. right? And sometimes guys like that.
So don't you play compared him to Zach Hyman. If Zach Hyman got signed right now, he's not signing for $5.5 million.
Kucherov 30, nope. Hedman 33, Stamkos 34,
right?
Vasilevskiy 29.
I think I might have a point there somewhere in this conversation.
Yeah, but the only thing is so what do you think Stamkos is for term, going back to the term thing? Like, he's 34.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to sign an 8-year deal.
Nope.
So what is his window? 3 years? 37? 3 years, let's argue with?
I don't know.
Would Tampa Bay have a shot over the next 3 years? Or are you uprooting everything you've got because you're going to go to
$10 million in Toronto? No. I think you probably take a look at the open market and see if there's a better fit and see what the dollar figure looks like. That's what I would do if I was Stamkos.
Of course you're going to do that.
Well, at the end of the day, Tampa Bay is getting closer to where Pittsburgh is. They're just not where Pittsburgh is. Remember, Pittsburgh, probably roughly around this time, with all their aged guys, won another cup. Right? Like, I mean, if Crosby's 38? 36.
7? I'm going to say 37, Ovechkin's 38. Malkin's 38.
36.
So
it turns 37 this year.
So he's 2 years older than...
He's a year younger than me.
Stamkos.
Three years older than Stamkos.
Jay, you were a little off on earnings. He has earned $100
million. Oh.
What do I know? This last year, $8.5 million he was earning. So if you re-sign him for $8.5 million, is he an $8.5 million?
He's a point per game guy right now.
I tell you what, if you're listening to this, you can't believe the Oilers just won 4-1. I was in the building with Alex Craner, right? Like in his first ever NHL game, he was like a kid in a candy store. It was super, and we haven't even talked about it yet. We've been yelling at each other about the Tampa Bay Lightning and Sean's drafting ability, like unbelievable. What did you think of the Edmonton Oilers round one, 4-1?
They're a Stanley Cup contender. That's as simple as. They have a shot to win the cup this year.
It's not as fun talking about it because there's nothing to argue about.
They did exactly what they're supposed to do. Their defense is the best it's been since Chris Pronger was there when they went to the cup.
Yeah. Everybody talks about how they think Bolkoffy's made a big difference.
But you can see it. So watching the game, you know, watching on TV is one thing. Watching in the building is something else for multiple reasons. But, you know, they don't have Chris Pronger, right? They don't have Hedman. They have a group of guys, and you can love or hate Darnell Nurse. He's a good defenseman, but he isn't either.
Forget about the money. He's a good solid top defenseman. Four. Ekholm
isn't a Chris number Pronger. One, right? So the group of them, they have this
Ekholm
ability.
Is so underrated, though.
He's sure.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying he's not Pronger. Okay, yeah,
for sure.
There's very few of those. We don't have it.
If Hedman played on the team, is Ekholm Hedman's deep? No, Ekholm would still run his own deep pairing.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's that absolutely. Good.
So Ekholm is your number two because your number three defenseman plays with the number one. Wouldn't you look at it like that? So Bouchard's your number four defenseman playing with your number two right now. Nurse is probably your number three, and they're missing the number one.
They're just missing.
If Hedman was on the team or Makar,
but their defense as a whole is tight. It's not like they got a big gap from top to bottom. They're all solid D-men out there.
All I'm saying is you go watch them last night, and LA plays their standard trap. And I'm explaining to Alex as we go along, you know, what they're doing and why it's whatever. But like LA didn't get, they had some chances. They did. And they scored on their chances. It was like two. Like, the first one goes off the glass and bounces right, and you're like, the entire, like, people that I was talking to from the arena, like, I never see that go like that, right? So that was very odd for them. But, like, then they gave up the one, the second one off a break, a bad pinch or a bad play on the defense. But the rest of the time, they were so smooth. Passes on the tape. Like, even their off the back behind the net was always on the tape. Like, they rarely got hemmed in to where they were, other than a couple of penalty kills. And I don't remember, like, everyone says all the Oilers do is rim the puck. I didn't see that last night.
No, that's changed.
Like, everything is tape to tape.
And that's what I talked about after game one.
This is what guys talk about with Paul Coffey coming in the room. The defense is taking just that extra half a second to make play instead of rimming the puck. And there's been a difference right there.
Well, didn't we talk about after game one? We said Coffey came in and said, either you're going to make plays or we're going to find guys that do.
That's right.
Well, and the other thing about the Oilers is this, is the depth on the forwards is so much better than it's been in years past as well. You have guys you can move in and out of that bottom six that are legit hockey players.
You've got a 20-goal scorer that is playing on your fourth line right now. And Fogle.
Yeah, and right? you can almost interchange that third and fourth line because they're just solid players, and you can move guys in and out. They move Carrick out and put
Derek Ryan
in, and he's a solid player. You still got Connor Brown who could fill in on that fourth line easily if you wanted to. Like, they've got players who can actually play. Holloway's been fantastic.
Holloway had the nicest move last night.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Danced Drew Doughty, and you're like, oh, that's what they see in him. Like, he's fast. But
so they just got players, like, they're just deep. Yeah. They're just deep.
They're, you can tell a couple things. And winning is fun, so that's part of it. You can tell they're having fun. I've never seen, I'm saying Harley before you guys got here, that power play is something. I was talking about with Brew. Brew called me today. Right? And we always go back to senior hockey when we won, and we had, like, you know, 64% in Wainwright. And I realized the NHL to senior hockey is not the same thing. But what it was the options, and you could score. And last night, they were doing things that I'm like, I've never seen any power play do. That pass to when Drysdale's set up kind of in the middle of the circle with his backhand, and it hits his backhand, and he just turns and fires. I'm like, I wonder how many times they practice that play, because it's almost automatic. He didn't score. But the play itself, to get comfortable with it, to know that I'm going to leave my stick there and McDavid's going to hit it right on the stick and I'm just going to turn and bang, is wild.
They have so many options, and they've practiced so many different moves there that other teams, they're like, oh, against Washington, okay, we're going to make sure that Ovechkin doesn't get the one-timer, and he sets up here, and we can count on that. The problem with the Oilers is there's so much movement between the players, and they give so many different looks and options that it's almost impossible to defend against.
Which, and really, that stems from having McDavid.
Yes, because when they lost McDavid for a few couple of games, their power play was not the same. It's still really good, and they'd have to rework it to make it work. But, like, he grabs that puck, and everybody, like, LA doesn't even chase him. Like, I was saying to Dad last night, like, at some point, you just think you'd try, right? And I don't mean try in the sense of, like, they're not working hard. Just like, he doesn't look like he has full control of it. And he's got his back turned to you. Why don't you just see if you can fool him and get a breakaway?
The problem with him is that he can do so much one-on-one.
Yeah, I know.
That everyone's scared and then it's to in the force net. Him because you're already, you know you've only got three guys.
Harley was like
the Bobby Orr back in the day, right? Yeah. Are you going to chase after him behind the net?
He's going to make you look like a fool.
Do you want to look stupid or not? It's safer just to stand back and not chase him.
But their power play last night, although two of them, Harley was pointing out, got scored after the power play ended. But it was like seconds after. That's 3 for 4 last night. Their power play was 75%. I understand that's not what it was, folks. But, like, when you look at it, when they scored their goals, it was coming off or on the power play. So they're 3 for 4. So by not doing that, you're still getting scored on. Like, I mean, they just, have you ever seen a power play stay out there for 2+ minutes? I was saying to Harley there at the start of the third, they're like, the camera is tracking Darnell Nurse, right? And then underneath it says how many shifts he's had and how much time on ice. So it was like 17 shifts in the first two periods, 11 minutes and change. Okay. The next one is Leon Draisaitl, and forgive me, I won't remember exact numbers, but it's 14 shifts in 17 minutes. And I'm like, think about that. That's a coach's worst nightmare. Except when they get power play, I could be on the bench and I'd be like, no, just stay. Like, just, you guys do your thing. You're going so good. Just stay for the 2 minutes, score as a goal. And they did 3 out of 4 times. And they never lose steam. And maybe the thing we're not talking about is the other part of this. I remember last year when they played LA, LA's power play looked freaking good. And they shut him out this time, right? Not a single goal scored on the power play by LA in the entire series. 5 games, no goals. That's another story in this.
First time in Edmonton Oilers history that they've gone a whole series without allowing a power play goal.
The other thing about this is 2 years ago, they beat LA in 7. Last year, they beat LA in 6. If you're going to make a deep run in the playoffs, you have to win series quicker, especially early on, so you get a little bit of rest and you're ready to go for the next series.
Did anybody see the travel distance between West teams versus East teams? Yeah. Right? Like, I mean,
yeah, but there's always an extra
7 hours though. You're not spending on a plane,
but it's always been
going down there, coming back.
But finishing those series early means it becomes easier in the next round. You have more energy, a little bit more healthy, all the rest of it.
So, who are you hoping they play? Vancouver or Nashville?
Doesn't matter.
It does to me, and here's why. Vancouver has a big defense, and they can be miserable, and so I think they have more talent up front. Do I think the Oilers win that series? Yes. Do I think they get pounded on a little bit more by Vancouver? I think they do, right? On the flip side, though, Nashville is a way farther venue to travel to. So if you could get in and out of Vancouver with in five, I mean, you haven't done a lot of traveling going to your
point. Have they beat Vancouver all bloody year?
They haven't.
Doesn't matter.
But they haven't. And so you're hoping, you're going, well, yeah, but the goaltender's
gone. I agree with Dustin. It probably doesn't matter, but like...
When you're the big dog, you play who you play.
You know, I know Nashville. Them. I know how Nashville's playing right now against Vancouver. I get it. And I get it that Vancouver's Demko is out right now, and I don't know if he's back for second round or gone for the playoffs. But when you look at Nashville, they are like... They're just not going to win the cup. Like, that's a team, if I'm the Oilers, let's go, we'll beat them in four and carry on with our lives. That's how it looks to me with Nashville. With Vancouver, JT Miller's legit. Pettersson is legit. And maybe they're having a subpar series. Maybe Pettersson's
young. Or maybe Saros is playing out of his
mind. Maybe Saros is stopping them 10 out of 12 shots.
Saros is not getting many shots.
Last game he did.
But they got Quinn Hughes. I know they got Josi in Nashville, but can you name me two guys off their second line, Dust?
No, and it doesn't matter. And I'll tell you
why. But that's exactly what I mean.
Here's the thing about Vancouver. Is what you have on Vancouver is the same problem the Oilers had 5 to 6 years ago. You got boys that are playing against Edmonton, which are men now. And that's the big difference. So you talk about Quinn Hughes and Pettersson,
Calgary
all these
Flames
guys.
Fans are just turning right now. Oh,
I agree, Dust.
But your best players in Edmonton are in their prime.
I agree, but I think they beat either team. But I'm saying, who would you rather play?
When you're the big dog, you don't care. Just go play. It doesn't matter.
No, but we're not playing for them. I'm not asking if McDavid cares. I'm saying what we
think. I don't care.
I think you're probably wanting to play
Dust
Nashville.
Dust as a fan does not care.
You're probably wanting to play Nashville. And I get Vancouver beat Edmonton.
Coming from the guy who just talked about long travel.
No, yeah, but if you're only playing four games, if you can win all four games and you're moving on, then
hey,
Nashville's the travel
been
doesn't
one guy off their second line does.
You guys are talking about Zucker. You're talking about
Nashville. He plays third line.
He's on their second line then. Anyhow, all I'm saying is that what was I saying? Frick, I can't remember.
If Vancouver, and I know they've been playing good, but if Vancouver's Thatcher Demko isn't back, aren't you just salivating if you're the Edmonton Oilers? Like, aren't you just like, I get it, they got Big D, I get it, they got all these things, but is Vancouver going to, well, I don't know. Like, is everybody going to use LA's playbook and just stand on top of their goalie and hope he saves everything and not attack?
The other thing, too, I know you're talking about that...
Well, Jankowski, I know that name.
Zucker is on the third line. And so Mark Jankowski was a former first-round pick by the Calgary Flames, who's been in and out of the American Hockey League for the last 10 years. Tommy Novak, who I think is in year two, maybe year three, and Evangelista, who maybe is in year two. That's her second line.
Yes.
So Jason, Anthony, on the third line's Jason Zucker.
So Jay's saying you take Nashville,
Anthony
you take
Bovalier.
So here's the question then.
Can't stick with
how
Chicago.
How come Vancouver not get a lot of shots on Nashville then? If that's their team.
They're literally stacking everybody on the net. That one game they had 31 block shots. 31 block shots
they're
for
just working
Nashville.
Really hard.
And Vancouver had 87 shot attempts. So all they're doing is getting in shooting lanes, I think, right?
The other thing with Vancouver, and I know you brought up that they hadn't beat them all year, but you got to realize that they played Vancouver 5 times in the first 19 games. So like
and,
by
and
November 6th.
And they weren't very good.
Like, this reminds
that
me.
That was the worst.
I know.
This
but they
is gonna make, wait, yeah. This is going to make the Flames fans happy. Regular season, remember back in the glory days of the Oilers, they had Gretzky and Messier, and the Flames would end up ahead
actually,
of them.
Actually, Sean and Harley don't remember that.
That's true.
Correct.
Jay remembers this. Anyhow, the Flames have finished higher than them in the standings like almost every year, and everybody would be like, oh, look out, the Flames have dominated the Oilers, blah, 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 and then come to the playoffs, and the Oilers just wipe the floor with them almost every year.
Well, except when Steve Smith put it off of Grant Fear's skate.
And then
from behind the net.
And who got credited with the goal?
Yeah, who did?
Perry Berza.
Well, there you go. Oh anyhow, but every
what
year...
What a useless stat that is, hey?
Every year...
Perry Barazan.
Every year, Calgary finish higher, and the Oilers come to the playoffs and just beat them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about Vancouver winning all these
and
games
the year that the
higher.
And the year that the Flames got to the finals twice in the 80s, the first time was Steve Smith off of Grant Fear. The second time, L.A. with Gretzky beat the Flames... beat the Oilers.
So the Flames
played LA
play
in the second round, didn't have to face Edmonton.
That's right.
And then the year after that, Edmonton won the cup again.
That's right.
Leafs, no Auston Matthews. Can, you know, like this is going to air immediately, but you know, there's going to be a lot of people wake up tomorrow, which means do they win game six?
My first question is Wall for real? Can Wall go head to head with Swayman and
Allmark.
Can he do it? Because that's the to me, everybody's talking about Matthews and everything else.
Nick Kypreos and all the boys from Sportsnet sure seem to think so.
They think he's the guy, eh?
They think
so. Is he the Paddy Waugh?
They think he's the guy, and I was just listening to it actually earlier today, and they were saying they believe if he had started the series, it'd be different.
So here's the thing. I have a problem with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's not even goaltending. Although goaltending is a little bit part of it, but to me, the defense of the Toronto Maple Leafs is not good enough. If you look at their defense, you don't look at any names on there and go, well, there's, you know, a solid 3-4 defenseman. I don't look at their defense, and it doesn't worry me in the slightest. Toronto, so I sit there and go,
your top end forwards are not, to me, like, Marner has been a ghost through the playoffs, right? He's not a big forward. He's not going to lean on anybody. He's getting pushed around. Matthews for sure, right, I'm sure will be fine through the playoffs, who's not
in the lineup,
right? So that's another big blow. So
but they got John Tavares. Everybody, look at John Tavares can lean on some people. He is a good hockey player. He's surprisingly good. Like, I've watched
Nylander's him live. Nylander's not leaning on anybody, though, right? So the longer that this continues to go on, where you've got bigger
They came
center,
out of the gates not flying.
Okay, whoa. The reason I go back to the goaltender is because we are through 5 games in that series.
Correct.
Boston's up 3-2. Game 6 is in Toronto, where Toronto has not won in 6 straight times in the playoffs. If Toronto can get that monkey off their back, anything can happen in a game 7. We are not that far away. We are not in game 2 right now. Can Wall go head-to-head against Swayman?
That's he proved it for one game.
Right?
He went to overtime. They went in overtime.
Wall has to run the gamut here.
Well, you know, if I was in the Leafs dressing room, I mean, I'd want Austin Matthews back in the lineup. But, you know, you're down 3-1. You go into Boston. And if you're Boston, don't let us win that one. We win in overtime. That's a backbreaker for Boston because they're pissed off.
Well,
and now you go back to Toronto. And for the love of God, they were talking about how nerves the Leafs fans or Leafs players get playing in front of their home crowd. It's a load of crap. You got to be fired up to play in your home building. And away you go, because you score the first goal, the building erupts, and away you go. So, like, Boston, you know, like, now they got to go back into an opposing barn that should be electric and has the opportunity to win it at home, which puts them into a game 7 where anything can happen.
But what does Jay always say? You've got a playoff, like, Stanley Cup contender, or just recently won the Stanley Cup. Until you beat them, you haven't won jack shit. So until Toronto pulls it out, and if they do, great, good on them. But until they do, for me, it's Boston.
I understand it. You probably, everybody's leaning Boston, but the one question I have was Wall versus Swayman. The other one I have is Boston not feeling a little bit tight on their sticks again? Because it wasn't not last year where they were playing Florida, where they were for sure going to win and up 3-1. Were they not up 3-1 on Florida?
Yes.
And so if Toronto comes out tonight and happens to get a 2-0, 3-1 lead, is Boston starting to feel a lot of pressure again? They're up 3-1 on Toronto. They're going to win this.
They lose
in overtime.
I got 3 points here. 1, Toronto's not Florida. 2, do we know what the mystery illness for Austin Matthews is? Is it tired, sick and tired of losing to the Boston Bruins? Because that might be it.
It is super strange that it's an illness, isn't it?
Like, he's, well, but they said it was an illness last game, but now they're saying it's an undisclosed injury.
Here's my third point. If you look at the Boston Bruins lineup and compare it to Toronto, you look at Pastrnak, you look at
Brad Marchand.
Ugh. All those guys, like, they're not wilting.
No, they didn't.
I look at Toronto's lineup and I'm like,
they didn't wilt last year against
John.
Florida. Florida plucked them.
Yeah, and Toronto's
before,
not Florida.
And before you
and
go,
I mean, them guys are getting pretty
no,
old
no, no,
too,
no.
Dust.
And before you go, Toronto's not Florida. Before you go, Toronto's not Florida. Do we remember the Boston Florida series last year? They're down 3-1, and Bobrovsky stood on his flipping head.
That's why I asked about Wall.
But could he be for a couple of games is what Jay said.
If you remember last year, Tkachuk actually stirred it up at one point and got his boys going.
So that's what we need, is Bertuzzi to roll in there.
Or Domi.
Both of them could actually. Eh?
And just give him a punch in the mouth.
Yeah. A little punch in the
mouth.
So
the one interesting thing that I don't know if anybody actually has heard, but so Toronto was talking to Swayman his draft year, all year, and 110th pick, they chose not to go with Swayman, and Boston had the 111th pick and took Swayman.
Who did Toronto take with 110th?
The CHL goalie of the year, but he never played a game in the NHL and retired at 23, Ian Scott.
I do remember Ian Scott.
Which is an interesting little caveat to this whole thing. I kind of found
We got Bruins Leafs tonight, game six. Tomorrow, probably.
No. So who are you guys taking then? Who wins tonight? Just game six. Who wins tonight?
I'm going Boston.
I'm going Boston.
I'm going Boston too.
I'm going to go Toronto. I'm going to say Wall comes through again, and we're going to have an epic game seven.
I hope for a game seven. How about tomorrow night in Vancouver, Nashville? They're in Nashville, right?
In Nashville for game six.
Nashville's winning game six.
I'm going to Nashville.
I think Nashville is winning game six and coming back to Vancouver.
I think Vancouver wins.
Closes it out.
I think they close it out, and I think it's like a 5-2 game.
What about Dallas and Vegas?
I think what they remind me of is you see that odd playoff series where one team comes out, wins the first two games, and then the other team gets going and just seems to get that momentum, and then they just run. And I would not be surprised to see Dallas win the next one and close her out.
I also am going with Dallas.
I'm going to say it goes seven. I'm still saying Dallas wins the series because if I get all three of my picks right, I go 8-for-8 in the first round. But I think Vegas is going to win game six and
just
goes
had
seven.
To throw that in there, hey?
Well, I sure did because I'm 5-0 right now, so I got to break it up when I can.
And you got a silver coin.
That's correct for picking Hellebuck because Colorado's good.
I'm going to take Vegas to win game six.
Who to win the series?
I think Dallas to win. I've really watched them play. I don't know why that came out weird. But Vegas deserved, I think, a better fate a couple of times there. Like they're a good team. And I think going back to Vegas, it's going to be an electric place. And I think we got a game seven coming in one, if not a couple of the series.
So I'm picking a game seven in Toronto, Boston, and the other two ending it.
And I'm picking two game sevens Boston ending it.
I'm picking two game sevens
and
as well.
Boston ending it.
And Boston.
Ending and you're it. Picking?
I'm picking. I don't even remember.
Oh no, you're picking Boston.
Boston to win.
And
Boston you're
picking
win.
Nashville game seven.
Game seven.
And. Dallas, Vegas.
Picking Dallas to win it all.
Okay.
One game seven.
Is that what we're doing for the next silver coin? Is this a bet?
Can you have a definitive winner?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not really. We'll have to talk about it off air. And
do we not have what we're doing for the next silver coin?
No, we don't. No,
I mean, that
don't.
Was the only reason I'm coming here.
Well, you haven't won one yet.
Well, no,
so
I haven't. I've
got to
get
me.
One here. Pretty soon, someone's going to give me a purple coin.
We'll find something. We'll post it. Thanks for coming to the house today, boys. For the audience, they got a couple
Sean,
of kids in the background.
Sean looks a little bit tired from staying up late watching the Oilers game.
What did you think of the Cornerstone Forum? I never did bring it up. Jay, you were there for the morning. The other two,
it was great.
You know, I've been having a few different conversations through the week about it.
Here's the one thing for sure that I liked about it. I was like Sean said, I was only there for the morning. Was I liked the 10 or 15 minutes for each person? I've been to ones where someone talks for an hour and like after 20 minutes, there's too much information. My brain becomes muddled and I can't understand it or you zone out. And having that 10 or 15 minutes forces the person who's talking to be very concise with the point he's kind of pointed to they're trying to come across with. And you're interested till they're done because it's not too much.
I think what Jason's trying to say, he has a short attention span.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, squirrel.
I thought it was great. I enjoyed all the speakers. I got to talk to pretty much every single one of them, which was great. The interesting thing for me was actually right at the very end and getting everybody to stand up and how few people were actually from Lloyd. That was pretty amazing, interesting, all in the same breath.
For the listener, I've said this now multiple times, but if you only listen to the Brothers Roundtable, I'll say it again. New Jersey, Virginia, Arizona, Vancouver, Toronto, Winnipeg, and two ladies drove 28 hours from Ontario.
What about France?
Well, then speakers in from Florida. Monaco, Florida, and Panama.
Something I will say, one of my highlights was Friday night, the last three guys up while I was waiting for them to shut her down was Tom Luongo, Dave the Bitcoin guy, and Nick, Silver Gold Bull, debating money and currency while drinking scotch and smoking cigars. So that was a lot of fun.
I should point out that Nick is a diehard Calgary Flames fan. I highly doubt he's made it this far. But last night when I was at the game with Alex Craner, I was insufferable, and especially when they won. So I didn't earn myself any favors there. Oh, boys. Thanks for, yeah.
Well, no, we could come up with something pretty quick to do for the next silver coin. Like, which team scores the most goals in game one of the second round? And I know we don't have quite all the teams there, but we have enough that we could each take a team.
Oh, is this because Jay gets first pick, and so now he's like, you know? I see how this is going there, here, you know, right? Like, this is almost like Sean last.
You know what?
The three of us are all arguing, and meanwhile, Sean's doing the stats in the background.
I'm trying to find something for the listeners.
It didn't work out that well for me, Harles.
All right, Jay. Which team do you want then?
So that's what we're doing?
Sure.
Most goals scored, and if there's a tie, then it's the least allowed.
All right, sure. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay. So far we have Florida, the Rangers, Carolina, Edmonton,
Colorado.
Edmonton, Colorado.
And Colorado.
So okay. It should go, I believe, Jay, Harley, myself, Dust.
Okay. Sure. So I think Edmonton's going to be a touch rusty, so I'm not going to go with them. Plus, I don't want this. Oh, yeah, you picked it, so you get to go with Edmonton. So I am going to go with...
You know, if you're confident, you'd take, like, Vancouver or something.
You know what I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with the...
Nashville Predators.
No, I'm going to go with Florida Panthers.
Oh, the Florida Panthers. Okay.
Well, Charles. I get to go second then.
That's correct.
Edmonton Oilers.
And I am going to go with the Colorado Avalanche.
I like that pick. I was thinking about that one.
The three teams I was going to pick for those three.
Well, you got the Rangers and Carolina. Who's going to win that game?
Or you could go on a flyer and pick Boston.
And then they don't make it. That'd be awesome.
Or Vancouver. Or Dallas would actually be a good pick, but I can't go with them.
Feeling really bad for you, by the way, right now, Dust.
I got a silver coin to, you know, wipe my tears with. I'll go with the New York Rangers.
The New York Rangers to open up with a high-scoring game. Yes. Interesting. All right, folks, that'll do it for another week. We'll catch up to you on another Brothers Roundtable next week.